You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Well, we left our homes up in Bristol Bay for the waters of Miami shore. With the hippo at the helm and our severance pay, we fly the pirate flag once more. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Well, the ship is a wreck, shit stains the deck as Michael Hollow's fellas make more. And Billy is a worry that he's got the scurvy, cause Chris ate all the limes in store. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Now Roy is a chum when he's on the rum, he's the glue when we spring a leak. And Stu is a mess, he does less and less, and Greg's sounding worse each week. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we get wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. Pirate radio. Someone yelled ahoy, who the hell's cabin boy? Somebody named Tony, who knows? Once we got the skip, well, a mean jump ship, cause he knew we would sail to gold. Pirate radio with the ship and crew, we got wind in our sails and the sky is blue. There's a devil up our nose, so much work to do. For the pirate radio.
Much as I identified as self-aware Lupica, you're the dangerous strain, and there are many of them around here, because certainly I know that that Billy and Chris have tried this hat on for size. But the self-aware Stugat is a mighty viral strain where, like, or the analytics savvy Stugats is something that, like,
Stugats with information.
Hey, relax. I mean, you don't want too much of that, okay? It's not how you sculpt your craft. You know what I'm saying, Cortez? Information will kill you.
Well, if you want some information, 6-0 in the last six is the latest update on the Miami Heat. I don't know if you heard that, Whittingham and Billy.
Boom.
It is 6-0 in their last six for the Miami Heat. But if I were playing devil's advocate, if I were still interested in being the urinator, okay, I've got a good story to be the urinator on. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler says he is not playing in the All-Star game as a protest, basically a boycott of the All-Star game because Bam Adebayo was not welcome to the All-Star game. And the urinating I'm going to do on this is just asking you and the audience a single question. If Stugats were an all-star who didn't want to play in the all-star game because he just played in the finals and he's tired, but he didn't want to look like LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard just saying publicly that he didn't want to say that he didn't want to play in the all-star game, how would he go about doing that in a way that would make Stugats look like the best?
Exactly the way Jimmy did.
I mean, it was genius. I don't know if it's, I mean, I know he loves Bam and I know he loves this team and he loves all the guys on his team. But if you want to be cynical about it, good Lord, I'd get a marketing team. The amount of money around these guys is so great, Stugats, that a marketing team pays for itself by simply telling him, hey, Jimmy, do this. Just do this. You want the time off? Just do this.
Yeah. There was a pitch meeting, right, where this was among the pitches of, hey, Jimmy, we don't even want to go to the All-Star game, but let's come up with some ideas. We'll have three or four to present to you, and this was option A.
Well, that was option A. Option B was also when Jimmy piped up and said, well, what if Bam makes the All-Star team? Well, then we do it for Tyler Herro.
You run out of options after Bam, don't you?
you do, but was anyone applying?
Gabe Vincent.
Was anyone? Look, he's a glue guy. I think he should be in the All-Star game.
He had a great strip of Trae Young last night.
What do you think, though? Which way are you? I mean, Heat Homer, Heat propagandist is always going to believe the purity of it. But if you're the cynic, the sports radio cynic like Stugats, you can apply that urination to it, and it's funny.
I was offended that they went to Jimmy Butler first. Jimmy Butler does not deserve to be an all-star this year based off of this regular season. I believe they're taking, obviously, last year's finals run into account. But if there's an all-star on this roster, it's not Jimmy Butler. It is Bam Adebayo. I'm kind of offended they didn't ask Bam Bam Adebayo first. Now that's a story. Bam Adebayo saying, I'm not going to be an all-star if Jimmy Butler's not an all-star.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please. Are you ever offended by an all-star game snub?
Yes, I am. You know who got in?
I know
you know
you
who
are.
Got in?
I know,
you know who got in?
I wasn't asking you. I'm Sugats. Asking the audience.
Do you know who got in?
No, tell me.
No, no, no. I'm asking you to tell me who got in.
I have no idea who got in.
Sabonis.
What?
Sabonis from Indiana.
He's been
what?
Good this
you,
year.
Yeah, okay. How good? Do you know his first name? Do you?
Is
I'm
it,
asking
it starts
you.
With a D.
It does start with a D. It's D Sabonis. How do you pronounce his first name?
It's not Dante.
No, it's not.
There's an S at the end.
There's an N somewhere in there. There's
Arvidas Jr.
Very myopic.
The defense rests.
What do you mean the defense
rests? The defense rests.
Wait a minute. There are plenty of people who can't pronounce Adebayo. Colin Cowherd can't pronounce Adebayo.
No, he couldn't pronounce Adebayo. Now he can because of the finals run. No one knows Sabonis' first name. No
How
one.
How many people can't pronounce Giannis' name correctly?
Another good one.
Yeah, but people know that he... Ah, it's Greek Freak.
Yeah, but this is last name. We're talking first name. With Bam, it's Bam.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
I made my point.
Right.
Okay, so Sabonis should be in. Sabonis shouldn't be in, and all the Heat... And Gabe Vincent should be. Is that your point?
Yes.
Yes, that's your general
yes,
point.
Based off of, like, the rules that I outlined.
What happened, Chris? What are you mouthing over there?
Gabe Vincent. I don't know what you
that
did.
Is, I said Gabe... Odd. He said Gabe Vincent.
Zoom can be tricky, as last night's Golden Globes proved evident.
Let's talk about that for a second.
That was amazing. The first speech of the night. That I thought that was art. Like, I forget his name, the actor, but he's speaking, he's giving his speech, and then he's on mute. Just perfect.
Daniel Kaluuya is his name.
That guy.
Thank you, Whittingham. And there in a capsule is the difference between Chris Cody and Chris Whittingham. And if we were going to
you didn't know that guy's name either, Dan. I'll pull a mic right here. What's his first name?
He should have been an NBA All-Star.
Daniel Kaluuya is actually Sabonis' first name.
What were the highlights of the Golden Globes? Obviously, Sudeikis being dressed the way that Sudeikis was dressed, giving a speech that was very Ted Lasso. Hey, we didn't talk about this out here. And I'm simply curious because I had a funny reaction. I generally don't care about the celebrity gossip stuff. But when Olivia Wilde leaves Jason Sudeikis and photographs are being taken and she is moving her stuff into the home of Harry Styles and all of that is happening, did any of you feel bad for Ted Lasso? Not Sudeikis. Not Sudeikis. I did not. I felt bad. Like, how could you do that to Ted Lasso? And I'm like, what about his Harry Styles? Like, you see what's on his face.
Well, because he's filming Ted Lasso.
He's got Harry Styles on his face.
Yeah.
Now you have Harry Styles on your face.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. We don't know what's going on.
No, there. But I'm saying the paparazzi of it felt like very ancient in terms like I feel like I'm probably wrong about this. Because TMZ has many arms, tentacles, and everyone with a camera is paparazzi. But it seemed to me that paparazzi was less of a thing than it used to be when, you know, we were ruining Britney Spears' life because magazines wanted $100,000 photos of Britney Spears.
What's happening with that story, I think, to a lot of people is a lot of people have just made Jason Sudeikis Ted Lasso, to your point. Because my heart was breaking for Ted Lasso, the character. Because I'm like, no, this is why. If there is light at the end of the tunnels, I know that Ted is going to have a positive outlook on all of this, right? That's what the overriding feeling is. But how could you? Ted Lasso is such a perfect man, Olivia. How could you?
What were the other highlights for you guys from the Golden Globes? Did Sound of Metal? Sound of Metal is the best movie I've seen in a year. I don't know if it won anything, but I haven't had a movie. I don't know if I've ever had a movie crawl around in my skin the way that one did. You might not like it if you don't like an uncomfortable movie experience, because this movie is deeply uncomfortable and it's uncomfortably deep. And I just didn't think I've seen anything, but not that I've seen everything, but I didn't see anything better than that over the course of the year. Did it do well? Like, who cleaned up last night?
I actually stopped watching after Ted Lasso was robbed by Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
It's just, Not that show. I just didn't find that show very funny. I gave up on it, though. I know a lot of people stuck
with
it.
You gave up on Schitt's Creek?
Yeah, it just wasn't. I saw an entire season. A lot of people did. I saw an entire season. I'm just like, this is nice, but it's just not for me.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Did you give up on Schitt's Creek? Yes or no?
Season two is where it gets good. I've told Mike that. It's tough. The first season is kind of the worst.
I'll probably get around to it. I was happy for Sudeikis. I was also confused by his acceptance speech that, let's just say, the tie-dye sweater was apropos, given what I saw. And
why did you have to clean that up? He seemed high.
Yeah, that's exactly what that. Well, see, in the 70s, hippies used to wear tie-dye, and they used to smoke a lot of pot.
But I mean, you're making a 60-year-old reference for being being high.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to come out with the accusations. I've already feel like we've pried around his personal life way too much this hour.
Maybe that's why she left him for Harry Styles. He was up in the drugs too much.
Harry Styles.
Old Ted Lasso.
Harry Styles is quite a catch, though. I think if Harry Styles started making moves on me, I'd leave Cynthia. I swear to God.
Put it on the poll.
Would you really?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo.
Got it going
if
on.
Harry Styles started making moves on you, would you leave your significant other?
Sudeikis did not seem to like Don Cheadle's wrap it up joke at the end because he went on forever, and Don Cheadle gave him one of these when the camera was on him. It's like the wrap it up sign.
Yeah,
and he did not like that.
I did enjoy the secret access that we got to right before. I loved how they tossed the breaks because everyone that's nominated gets in a Zoom and exchanges pleasantries, and they just sort of wait around together talking to each other. And you could tell Al Pacino just had his mic muted the entire time. He had no time to actually say hello to anybody else. These awkward, forced moments. And you realize that no matter how cool you think Colin Farrell is, you can't appear cool off of a Zoom.
The stuff with Pacino is great, right? Where you're realizing more and more every day that he's 80 years old, but he doesn't have the hair of an 80-year-old, so it's a bit confusing.
I love the delay that we were on with the Zoom, where they would be showing the nominees as their names were being heard. So they would be clapping for the previous nominee, but then the camera was on them as they wanted to stop clapping for themselves. So we got to see them clapping for the previous name read and then stopping awkwardly because they didn't want to be clapping for themselves.
I also enjoyed the woman from Schitt's Creek. I did do a Dan lesson. I was watching some of it with the sound off, but I believe that the woman from Schitt's Creek, while I believe giving her acceptance speech for winning Best Actress in a Comedy, was I believe talking into a phone, and that's how and that's what was being transmitted onto television, because the person sitting next to her was holding a phone while she was giving the acceptance speech. I think they couldn't figure out how to connect to audio, and this was like the backup plan.
I'd leave my wife for Tony.
I'm watching and wonder how Catherine O'Hara has become the lady from Schitt's Creek. She's had an amazing career. She's not the lady from Best in Show. She's not the lady from Home Alone. She's not the lady from Beetlejuice. She's the lady from Schitt's Creek now.
It's like Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson is just, he played with LeBron for a couple of years. Like, not only is he a great broadcaster, right, he was in the finals, and he was like one of the, he was one of the best players on one of the best teams when he, over 10 years with Vince Carter. And you just think of him as, kind of got scared. Do we have that sound, or is that illegal sound to play? The Richard Jefferson just basically admitting that he was scared during the finals and just standing around watching during plays that were important because he knew he wasn't involved in them, and he was just sort of scared, so he didn't think to go for a rebound or anything. He's like, man, I'm in the middle of a big moment here.
Don't want to get in the way.
But isn't that what you associate Richard Jefferson with? Because he's become a very good broadcaster. He's also very funny. He's looser. Like, God, it's so nice. It is so nice, Stugatz, to see a new generation of broadcasters and athlete broadcasters say, oh, wait, I don't have to do it the way that this has always been done. I don't have to stiffly fit in this box with a tie and just give straight analysis and then the occasional clever quip that will get fake laughter. I could just be myself. And I can make pop culture references like Richard Jefferson is doing, although I do believe, did we have the moment in a game this weekend where he referred to somebody as Dame Dollar and then got the white guy's correction of it doesn't end in an R? Isn't that something that it's not Dame Dollar? I believe that happened to Richard Jefferson.
You're throwing a lot of Richard Jefferson stuff at me right
yes.
now.
Just how are we supposed to verify on all of this? I mean, I'll look it up.
No, let me ask you a different question. Dame Chris, Dollar. What else did you like from the Golden Globes. What were the other things? You want to become our Golden Globes correspondent as you now grow in your career as an interviewer? Who's your next interview going to be after the big John Skipper interview? You came out of the box very strong with your first. You did better in one episode than I did in four. Who's your next interview going to be with?
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking maybe Obama. Like, you know, I got to aim high. You can't really, you know, the ladder has to keep going up. I can't go down on the ladder. But I'm just listening to this sound, and he does say Dame Dollar with an R at the end, and he does get corrected, and it's pretty funny.
I do have that sound of the NBA Finals, Dan, that you referenced, courtesy of the Players Tribune.
I'm sitting on the bench watching the play, and I see the fast break, and I was like, oh, and all of a sudden, because I'm watching the head of the play, and this is not an exaggeration, I'm watching this thing happening, and all of a sudden I see a black blur go out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, just blocked that. And I was like, oh, we have a chance. And so we make a timeout, we make a sub, I check into the game. And at first I'm in the strong side corner where Kyrie shot the ball. So Bron clears me out, and I was like, good, because I want no part of this. Right? So they clear me out. They take me to the other, I go to the other corner, right? And so my thing in the corner, I'm like, okay, well, when this shot goes up, go for the offensive rebound. If you don't think you get it, you got to bust your back. Like, that's my process. Like, I tell you, I'm thinking all this stuff and what I need to do. Shot goes up and I just stand there. I don't go offensive rebound. I don't get back. I'm just like, oh, he's shooting a three. Oh, that went in. Like again, like these are the, like the same reactions that fans have and that the media has. That's the same reaction we have. Like, I see Kyrie Irving dribbling over there, and I'm like, okay, Kai. I was like, first of all, they cleared me out, and I was like, thank God, because if my man went to go double and they threw the ball, I don't know what I was going to do. I might have made a shot. I might have dunked it. I might have dribbled off my foot. I don't know.
I love that.
Are you guys Tribune guys or Tribune guys?
Tribune.
Tribune. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Tribune or Tribune? Let's get to some sound here involving Mike Russo. I do want to get back to the Miami Heat in a second and the local hour in a second, but I don't want to go much more show without talking about your beloved Chris Russo. I called him Mike, I think.
Yeah, it's a $5 fine.
What if I fix it? I thought if I fixed it before you got in there.
Well, his real name is Mad Dog, so.
Okay, so Mad Dog, I want you to hear the initial source of the controversy from Mad Dog Radio, because Mad Dog, there are a lot of people, and we are included among them here when I say me and Stu Gatz, where the aging on the radio and the way things are moving, the speed with which things are moving, are catching up to the old people and biting us on the ass, because everything in the world is moving very fast technologically. And then beyond that, during the pandemic, it's been fast forwarded. So, Stu Gatz, as we get to this Chris Russo sound, I want to tell you sort of an alarming moment of real time aging that I saw sort of like The Matrix crystal clear. That's an old movie reference, The Matrix.
Sean Marion.
While I was in Whole Foods, and I'm standing there, and they've decided after a couple of different years, I don't know when this decision got made, but I've been going to this Whole Foods, and it has looked a certain way for a certain number of years now. I would say 5 to 7 years.
Oh, boy, they changed it up.
Well, not only did they change it up, though, they changed it up with a whole lot more express do-it-yourself get out, no cashier. But the part where I saw aging most clearly in a way that legitimately frightened me, and it wasn't even about my own mortality. It's that I'm standing there, and so I'm noticing this first. I'm like, oh, I've got my discomfort. I don't like change in my familiar. What just happened here? Why is it different? And then I keep scanning the premises, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Look at that. A lot more scanners than cashiers. But some of the scanners who don't want to wait in the other line, they're getting help from the employees who don't seem to realize that these robots are replacing them. They're just helping for now to guide this transition. The humans that are coming over to help the people who can't figure out the self-checkout thing. But this is the part where I noticed, and I was like, oh, shit. Everybody in the cashier's line was old. and everybody in the self-checkout was young, and the old line had fewer, less help. Why? Because those people are going to die soon, and we just don't need, we don't need to worry about them too much. Let's pour our resources into checkout over
Mike,
here.
Mike, come self-checkout for me.
He FaceTimed me.
It was terrifying. Is it wrong that I'm just, I don't like where we've arrived during a pandemic where I'm simply afraid. You know how much I like food. I'm simply afraid to go to the grocery store. And then I get there and the pandemic has fast forwarded the entire economy.
It happened to me in my local drugstore, man. Now, we have a lady.
And then they don't know when I hand them cash what it is. They look at it and they don't know what it is.
We have a lady who works at the CVS in my town. She's very aware that the robots are there to replace her. She bashes the robots. She calls everyone over to the counter. I'll help you out with a smile, a thank you. I'll hand you your receipt. She's bashing the computers, and I love her dearly. I really do.
That should be the move, right? Like, point and laugh at the robots. And yes. If someone calls you over, like, I'm having trouble with self-checkout, just like, call the robot boss. I don't know, not me.
Have you guys ever gotten into an argument with the self-checkout machine where you're like, I'm not going to put it in the bag, okay? What do you care where I put this thing once it's scanned, as long as it's scanned?
Is it like Indiana Jones where it needs weight distribution and you're trying to get the
item
off?
Some places it freaks out. It's like put the item in the bag. It's like, I only have two items. I'd like to carry them out. It's like, please put it in the bag.
Right. And also sometimes you take like more than 10 items. Am I supposed to put them all in one bag and not remove them? This process makes no sense.
It castigates you for not putting it in the bag like your mom would. It's really weird. It is. But I don't think you can leave without putting it in the bag, Chris. I'm serious. Like, I don't think it's going to stop talking to you.
As I'm walking away, it's like, please put it in the bag.
You need one of the old people that's going to be obsolete to help you out.
They have these put it in the bag instructions at Home Depot, and I'm carrying a 2x4. How the f*** am I going to put this in a bag? Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
I haven't gotten over Dan talking like well about it, speaking well about a movie while saying it's crawled around his skin. Like, that is not something I want from a movie experience. It crawling around my skin for weeks afterward.
Why?
I'm telling you, though, that movie does. I saw it based on Dan's recommendation, and it's an accurate way to describe that. It was a very unsettling viewing experience. It does stay with you, that
time. I would suggest to anybody listening to this, and many of you have seen it, it's an excellent movie. It's got some of that word of mouth. But if you don't like, as your movie experience, to be made uncomfortable or think about things that are deeply uncomfortable, I would not watch this movie, because I thought that it was exceptional for a number of different reasons, but one of them was the degree of difficulty in, oh, wow, you made something really beautiful here. You made a work of art out of horror, out of, I don't want to give away too much, but this is in the title. You made a work of art about descending into deafness when you've had hearing. And just a movie about a lot of different things. A movie about life, a movie about codependency, a movie about addiction, a movie about stillness and the mind is a poison, and noise, and God. And I just recommend it strongly. Mike, have you seen a better movie over the last year? Like, if I told you you had to pick an award, you can only pick one movie from the last year, is there something you've seen that's better than Sound of Metal? And Chris, I want to get back to you on you just don't want to see it when I'm describing it as uncomfortably deep and deeply uncomfortable.
In terms of standard movie, Amy Poehler had such a great line in the Golden Globes, like a movie now, because the lines are blurred, especially during the pandemic and how we consume things. It's like, it's weird. I'd rather sit in front of my TV and watch a 1 hour episode for 5 hours at a time than commit to a 2 hour movie. It's just one of those things
that's
that you
happened
avoid.
To me.
Yeah. So I, for whatever reason, I've been avoiding movies. So I haven't seen many of the nominated films, but out of the ones that I have, this was my favorite in that it stayed with me. I really like the performances. And just from a filmmaking aspect, to convey deafness and what somebody goes through throughout that entire process, it makes you feel horrible. Obviously, it goes without saying, none of us ever want to be deaf. I just thought that that would be a very difficult thing to translate into a film, and they found a way to do it.
Stugatz, I have never seen a movie, never once, not any movie I've ever seen, that used sound this way and used silence this way, both sound and silence. I don't know if they give awards for that sort of stuff, whether they have a category. It seems like a very
best use of silence,
best use of sound.
Yeah, there's
right.
Sound mixing in the Academy Awards. There's going to be sound mixing categories, and I imagine Sound of Metal is going to come away with a lot of it because it was a really ambitious project and they pulled it off.
Well, I wanted to ask you though. I wanted to ask Chris this question because I believe that there is the chance, and maybe this. Look, I don't mean to suggest that this movie isn't getting word of mouth because it is. A lot of people were affected by it, moved by it. But I do believe it is much harder to get one of those awards or get that kind of popular Tiger King word of mouth when something is uncomfortable because it's not what people want from the movies, Chris. So you're saying the way I described that makes you not want to see it?
I was half kidding about taking literal about a movie crawling around in my skin. But in general, I would say, I mean, I'm now going to watch this movie. You've intrigued me enough that I will check it out. But in general, I'm kind of like Stugatz. I don't need, you know, my life altered by watching a movie. I'm down to just entertain me, make me laugh.
Yep, Last Dance is good enough for me. I mean,
Billy, have you had that experience during the pandemic? Because I'm not sure that's pandemic related. I believe that is Netflix and streaming related, where you're more interested in a 5-part docuseries on something by way of investment than you are in just watching a 2-hour movie, because I have found it interesting. And I know some of you have noticed recently that sometimes I ask questions and then don't get the answer from the person I'm asking and accuse me of yammering. But sometimes the Zoom freezes and I just end up keep talking because I have to, because I was asking Billy a question and he remains frozen. But Mike, I think you're absolutely right that that is something.
I'm here.
Okay. You're not moving in the Zoom, but I can hear you. So has that happened to you?
Yeah, you know, I guess. Why don't watch 5 parts instead of a 2-hour movie? I'll binge a bunch of 30-minute episodes or something before I watch a 3-hour movie. Please wrap it up. 3 hours is ridiculous. I don't need 3 hours of anything in my life unless it's like 3 hours broken up into 12 small. Well, I guess it would be 6 small if it's 30-minute episodes. Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Isn't a baseball game 3 hours?
Don't you like baseball? Oh, please. You think I'd sit down and watch 3 straight hours of baseball, you're out of your mind.
What do? You just wander around?
Oh, I change the channel. I'll put it on mute. I'll walk around. I'll check in and out. Yeah, that's the beauty about baseball. You don't need to watch the entire baseball game, all right? We've moved past that point.
The problem
with
baseball.
You don't need to watch the whole game, yeah. You look up. You see the scores change. You're like, ooh, let me rewind a little bit. And you rewind. You catch up. Oh, that's how they got the run. Okay, fast forward 2 hours ahead. Nothing's happened. Good, I caught up. Baseball.
Mike, where's that Mad Dog sound? Let's give the audience the context it needs for the Mad Dog sound. Stugatz, for those of you who do not know, he grew up emulating Mad Dog. Mike and the Mad Dog are sports radio pioneers. They practically invented the medium or popularized it in New York. And when New York popularizes something, they claim to have invented it. So Mad Dog has become a bit of a caricature of himself late in life. He should have never split up from Mike Francesa, a lesson learned by me and Stugatz. Stugatz decided I'm going to be the Chris Mad Dog Russo character on steroids, making fun of myself. What are you pointing at, Mike?
Skeptical Billy.
What happened with Skeptical Billy?
One of them's still on the air, one of them isn't. And it's not Mike Francesa that's still on the air.
That's a good point. I mean, Russo made a lot of money. Sirius XM.
Do you guys think it was a good idea for them to break up?
They were better together, but I think from a financial standpoint, I think that's what Russo was going for, and he got it.
They both secured their bags.
But they were better together, and it ruined the show.
Mm-hmm. It ended the show, That would effectively ruin the show, but they got their bags.
Wait a minute, you can do that? Because I can get a bag. You can do that? I can get a bag right now. Yeah. Just me. I can wander around and get a bag. We can do that?
Wait, do you think you can make more money with Stu Gatz weighing you down or by yourself?
That's allowed? You could just break up with the partner you love who has made everything with you and then just run away and do something else for yourself?
Lord knows I've tried.
Well, it's tricky because you guys actually love each other. They don't.
Well, here's Chris Russo, and here's the initial sound, the culprit, we might say. Let's hear the initial sound from Sirius XM. This is Mad Dog Radio.
Lots to do. Louis Rojas is next. We continue here on Mad Dog Unleashed. Back right after this.
All right, so this is, the MLB Network. Yes, Chris is happy. He is dancing. Chris Cody, you really do.
Yeah.
Let's play that one more time because, again, the fart allegation was strong from the internet and everyone watching MLB Network.
Lots to do. Louis Rojas is next. We continue here on Mad Dog Unleashed. Back right after this.
The cough that results in a fart. I mean,
right. If the cough wasn't there, you could make the argument it was a chair, but right after a cough, I mean, come on.
Okay, but
we've all been there.
Okay, all right. Put it on the Paul Guillermo at Levitard show. Have we all been there? The fart after a cough. Or the fart because you're
just
coughing.
But have we all been there?
I'm embarrassed to say that happened in front of my wife the other day in a way that made me uncomfortable, but it was the fart after a sneeze, which is even
rare.
It's even worse.
I can't even imagine. That's close to spontaneous combustion, I think.
So let's play. So there was a tweet from a Tom Izzo, not the Tom Izzo, on Twitter. And Mad Dog, because we old people can be fooled by such things. We old people who sneeze and then fart can be fooled by fake accounts on Twitter. Here's Tom Izzo on Twitter, who wasn't the actual Tom Izzo, and Mad Dog defending himself.
I'm getting a little mileage out of this with the so-called fart yesterday on the air when I was doing that one-hour show on February 25th that never goes away. It was blowing my nose. It wasn't a fart, but Tom Izzo has just retweeted that. And Tom said it still could have been a fart. So there you go. So we're getting a little thank you, Funhouse. Nice job by Funhouse from that standpoint. We can use all the publicity we can get from that. So the fart that wasn't is a big topic now.
Yes, it is.
In Michigan. Michigan State's winning games. I was going to kill Tom and say, how about winning some ball games? And they won some. Plus, my kid wants to be a basketball coach, and he's run into Izzo once or twice. Maybe Tom will hire him in 5 years. So I got to be nice. So there you go from that standpoint.
I love that his mind works exactly like that. How do I pivot to Maximum Mad Dog by accusing him of winning some more games? Why don't you focus on winning some more games, coach? Oh, he's winning. Damn it.
Then easing up because his son wants to be a basketball coach.
Yeah, Maximum Stu Gatz. You see why Stu Gatz wanted to be that person. I love the journalistic responsibility and accountability of Mad Dog Russo in referring to it as the so-called fart. I think that is a strong phrase to put in front of the fart, as he pronounces
the fart.
Well, the next day, guys, on his show High Heat, which he called Mad Dog Unleashed when he teased we'll be back on Mad Dog Unleashed, which is not the name of his show on MLB Network, but when he did it the next day on the show, he had them release the raw tapes of him to show that he, in fact, was blowing his nose.
Oh, wow. So he proved he didn't like the accusations, and he went excessive with the proof.
Or he faked the whole thing the next day. Wow, right. Dan.
I don't want to fall off this chair.
Let's play the initial sound because I just want to, again, enjoy wrapping up the whole Richard Jefferson conversation I've inundated you with on a Monday. I want you to now imagine that Richard Jefferson, who was always a fun basketball player, talkative, outspoken, colorful, that Richard Jefferson gets into a broadcast booth and has to fit within the rigidities of broadcasting because there's a certain standard of excellence that when you're going to a break, you need to do it professionally with something broadcaster sportsy, just like, for example, Mad Dog from Mad Dog Radio.
Lots to do. Louis Rojas is next. We continue here on Mad Dog Unleashed. Back right after this.
How do you leave the sound up on him coughing and then sneeze farting or fart sneezing or blowing his nose? Like, how is the sound still up on that with happy music?
It's a betrayal by his producers. You have to protect your aging superstar because occasionally they're going to cough fart.
Mike has been calling me Pujols for 3 years.
A cart.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.